Morning. Today's daf in Sota is Chaf Tes. Thank you for the foundation of sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Azech Nishma Shliba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. The Gemara yesterday in Chaf Ches launched into a discussion about what we generate, the halachas that we generate from a Sota, notably the halachas of Safek Tuma. Safek Tuma is a major and fundamental issue in terms of how to view a Safek as it relates to Tumah. And the Gemara yesterday says that that is generated from the halachas regarding Sota. Sota, we know she is a Safek. We do not know what happened in that room together with a man. We obviously have a tremendous amount of suspicion. The Gemara's terminology in the very beginning of the Masechta, Raglaim Ladavar. There's reasons to be suspicious, but when all said and done, she has a cheskes kasher. She has a presumption of being innocent. All right, innocent until proven guilty. It's not a. I'm coining a modern phrase, but that's generally speaking how halacha works. You have a chazaka. You have a general presumption of being innocent, and we don't know what happened. So generally, you go back on the chazaka. And meanwhile, we know that when it comes to the sota, so the suffix is going to change her status and make her prohibited to her husband. So the Gemara says from there it's generated that that's also going to be true by Tuma as well. If you have a Safek Tuma, so even though the object in question had a presumption of being Mutter, or in this case I should say Tahor, nevertheless the Safek is going to generate a Tuma. How can we compare Sota and Tuma? There are two different issues, two different areas in Halacha. So the Gemara says that when the Torah describes the words, when the Torah describes a Sota, the Torah invokes the word Tuma, right? The Torah says that she is nitma'a, she is defiled. So obviously in the context of the Sota, we're not talking about Tuma Tahara, we're talking about Issur V'Heter, but yet the Torah uses the word Tuma. So the Gemara says from there, it can be generated that the same thing is, whatever halachas were true regarding a Sota are going to be true regarding Tuma as well. That's the basic outline of what we saw yesterday. Let's take a look at the Brisa yesterday that we saw yesterday, because really a lot of our Gemara, about half of our Gemara today is going to be based on the Brisa. So I'm just going to review the Brisa again. I know we did this yesterday, but just it really preps us for what's coming up ahead. Tana Rabbanan. I'm going to go over the Brisa. It starts on Chav Ches Amad Aleph. We did this yesterday, I know, but just again, we need familiarity. Shalosh Pamim Harman Parsha Im Nitma Nitma VeNitma Lama. It says three times in the Torah Nitma when it comes to the Sota. Why three times? Echlabav, Echlabav, Echlachuma. Div Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva deduces that. It says it three times. One, to prohibit her to her husband. Two, to prohibit her to the adulterer. Three, to prohibit her to Truma. Meaning, if she's a Bas Kohen, and this relationship and this marriage is going to terminate, and it is going to terminate, unless she drinks the Mesota, but it is going to terminate, and she goes back to her parents' house. So because she had the status of a Sota, she can no longer eat Truma. Okay. So that is Rabbi Kiva's three derivations from the word Tuma. I'm Rabbi Shmuel Kavachomer. Rabbi Shmuel says Kavachomer. Uma Grusha Shematasu Shumasu Kuhuna. Look at the Grusha. The Grusha can't. So on one hand, she's allowed to eat truma. On the other hand, she can't marry a kohen. Zusha Struba Truma, in addition, Shastula Kahuna. This Sota, who is prohibited from eating truma, for sure she's prohibited to marry a kohen. So Mata Malama Vihi Nitma, Vihi Lo Nitma. Before we go on in the Gemara, in the Brisa. So notice that when Rabbi Shmuel is responding to Rabbi Akiva, they're like not having a conversation. Rabbi Akiva is talking about, it says Nitma three times, and what do we learn out from Nitma three times? So Rabbi Akiva says, Baal, Baal, Truma. And what's Rabbi Shmuel's response? Of course she can't marry a Kohen. Meaning what is Rabbi Shmuel, how is Rabbi Shmuel responding to Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva didn't even address the issue of Kahuna, and Rabbi Shmuel is responding as if, come on, she can't marry a Kohen. We understand that's generated through a Kavachomer. So one of the first issues we're going to deal with is just to understand the dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel seems to be responding to something that Rabbi Akiva didn't even bring up. Okay. Going on in the Brisa, Mata Malama Vihi Nitma Vihi Lo Nitma, when the Torah says that she is either defiled or not defiled, Im Nitma Lama Shosim Lo Nitma Lama Mashke. So we know the basic issue is it's either one or the other. And if she is Nitma, so why is she drinking the Mesota? If she's Lo Nitma, so then Why are we bringing it to the Beit HaMikdash? So what are we learning out? We're learning out that's exactly the issue. The issue is we don't know. Meaning there's two possibilities. The Torah is just simply outlining what are the two possibilities. And because we're in the middle of these two possibilities, otherwise known as Safek, so now she's Asura. And from here, this is a launching point to the world of Tumah. One more important word. Safek kevadai. Okay. So this launches us into the world of Tumah, where by Sota, it's a Safek, and yes, she has the status of a Sota. So by Tumah, where you can even make a better argument by Tumah, a stronger argument, because in the world of Sota, if she is Ne'enas, if she was Bishogeg, she doesn't become Asura. When it comes to Tumah, there's no issue of Ones or Shogeg. If something comes into contact with Tumah, it's Tame, period. And it doesn't matter what the intent was. Shogeg, Ones, it doesn't matter. And so, if by a Sota she's going to change her status out of a Safek, by Tumah, for sure its status is going to be changed. Umi Makom Shabbatan, just finishing up the Brisa that we saw yesterday. Sota, her status changes. She only becomes the status of a Sota only if it's done in a private area. Same thing is going to be true by Safek Tumah. And we say throughout Shas, Safek Tumah Bereshos Yachid, we say throughout Shas because of this daf, or I should say yesterday's daf. So Af Sheretz Bereshos Yachid, Masota Daf Sheish Bo Daf Sishal, Af Sheretz Daf Sheish Bo Daf Sishal. And furthermore, just like by Sota, there's a Safek involving people who have intellect. So when it comes to Safek Tumah, we're only going to say Safek Tumah changes status only when it involves something that has intellect, otherwise known as a person. And this is where we get the rule. The rule is that if it's Safek Tame, Safek Tumah, Birishos Yachid, involving somebody who has intellect, meaning the Safek is involving a human being who has intellect, so then the halach is Sveko Tame. However, Birishos Rabim, Sveko Tar, Vishem Bodas Lishol, Bain Birishos Yachid, Bain Birishos Rabim, Sveko Tar. However, on the other side, if it took place in a Rishos Rabim, or if it involves somebody that does not have intellect, so then the halach is Tahor, period. Period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Okay.
Just to clarify, if there's a piece of meat left in the room and you're not sure whether it's suffered time or not, this whole principle doesn't apply to that.
Correct. It only is going to apply if it involves a person. Absolutely correct. Okay, Ad kan divrei habraisa, that takes us to the end of what we saw yesterday. So within this braisa, so the first point of clarification that's necessary is the dialogue that was exchanged in the beginning of the braisa. In the beginning of the braisa, you had Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, who seem to be squaring off against one another, but meanwhile, they're not really having a conversation. Rabbi Akiva says, it says regarding the Sota, three times Vinitma, to tell me that once she has a status of a Sota, she is now, from this point going forward, prohibited to her husband, adulterer, and Shuma. And then Rabbi Shmuel's response is, oh, she can't marry a Kohen. Okay. What's Rabbi Shmuel responding to? So, the Rabbi Shmuel, well, I'm Rabbi Ki.
She can't marry a Kohen no matter what, because she's going to be divorced anyway.
So, let's assume that she's not going to be a divorcee. Let's say that the husband dies. Meaning, you're absolutely right. Rashi's going to say it a couple times in the daf today, that if the marriage terminates with a divorce, then there's no conversation. The only way we can even have this conversation is that if she becomes a widow. Meaning, after she becomes a Sota, then the husband dies. So now, what Rabbi Shmuel's teaching us is that she can't marry a Kohen. So, okay, Rashi's going to say it a couple times today. Rabbi Shmuel, Amar Rabbi Akiva Chuma Mahadale Ihu Kahuna. This is a Gemara's question. What kind of dialogue was that between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Akiva's talking about Truma, and Rabbi Shmuel's talking about who she can marry, who she can't marry. I was going to say it's apples and oranges. It's not really two different conversations. Truma and Kahuna are certainly related, but what Rabbi Kiva's talking about, she can't eat Truma, and Rabbi Shmuel's talking about she can't marry a Kohen. It's still two different topics. So the Gemara says, Vesu, the Rabbi Akiva Kahuna Manale. And also, look, they're not having a conversation. And furthermore, you know what? Interesting. According to Rabbi Akiva, how does Rabbi Akiva know that she can't marry a Kohen? Assuming, of course, that she can't marry a Kohen. But how does Rabbi Akiva know that? So the Gemara says, and maybe you'll say the following. Well, you know, according to Rabbi Akiva, the truth of the matter is I don't need a pasuk. Meaning we have enough evidence as it is. Because look, do we know what happened in that room together with the adulterer? No. In other words, we don't know she committed adultery. And yet, what does the Torah say? Her status has been changed. So what is the Torah basically saying? That even though she's a suffix zona, the Torah says, from this point going forward, we're going to treat her like a zona. So the Gemara says, and maybe that's how Rabbi Akiva knows that she can't marry a Kohen. The Gemara says, you know, that's interesting. Because if that argument is valid, and by the way, it's a great argument. And that argument should sound familiar because that's what we learned yesterday in Tosfos, right? Remember Tosfos yesterday. Matam alomer hi nitma, where Tosfos basically writes, that's the whole chiddush behind Sota. The whole chiddush is that we don't know what happened in that room, and yet the Torah says she has undergone a status change. So, well, the Gemara's point over here now is that maybe according to Rabbi Akiva, that's exactly it. She can't marry a Kohen because even though we don't know what happens, we're going to treat her, the Torah treats her, like a Zona Vandai. So the Gemara says that all would be a wonderful argument had Rabbi Akiva not brought up Truma. But Rabbi Akiva brought up Truma. And what did Rabbi Akiva teach us? So the Gemara says, Truma Nami, with the very top of Chavtes Amanalev, Truma Nami loti by Krash, Shari Asaba, Suffolk Zona Gazona. Well, if your argument is correct, and that even though she's a Suffolk, we're going to treat her like a Vadai, the Torah treats her like a Vadai, so why did Rabbi Akiva even have to mention Truma? Think about it. Meaning, if a woman's a Zona, well, let's just start with that assumption. If a woman is a Zona, she can't eat Truma. And we'll go over the source for that halacha in just a moment. But if we're right that the suffix zona of a suffix sota is treated like a zona, so the Rabbi Akiva says, okay, that's it. She can't eat truma. She can't marry a kohen. But Rabbi Akiva needed the third pasuk to teach us about truma. So you see that it's not that obvious. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara says, El Rabbi Akiva, Arbai Krai Ksiva. So the Gemara says that really the truth of the matter is, even though the Braisa didn't say this, we're going to have to understand it this way, that from Rabbi Akiva's standpoint, there actually are four psukim. And by the way, it really doesn't fit in well with the language of the Braisa, because if you look back where we started this morning in Chaf Chesam at Aleph, the Braisa says, Shalosh Parmim Hamor Beparsha Im Nitma V'Nitma V'Nitma. The Braisa says three times. It goes out of its way to say the number three. But once again, you're going to have to say that on behalf of Rabbi Akiva, actually there's a fourth reference. Now, the Gemara now is not suggesting that there's actually another word, v'nitma, because the Bryce is right. It only says it three times. But as Rashi points out over here, remember this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva not only darshans the word, he also darshans the additional vav as well. So it's nitma, nitma, v'nitma. So you have that vav. So that vav is there to be able to give us a fourth drasha. That's how you arrive at four. Chalaba, chalabo, chalakuhuna, v'chalatruma. And now that covers all four bases. It covers the she's now prohibited to her husband, she's prohibited to the adulterer, she's prohibited to truma, and she's prohibited to kohen.
Isn't that still three psukim?
Now it's three psukim, but four drashas because of vav. The vav allows for one more drasha to be generated. That's how Rabbi Akiva arrives at all four points. Just in terms of dotting our I's, crossing the T's. So Rashi points out over here, take a look at the top Rashi and the Amud. Rashi points out, how do I know that a woman who's a Zona can no longer eat Truma? She's a Bas Kohen. And she's Mizana. And she defiles herself. So she no longer can eat Truma. How do I know that? So Rashi here quotes the Gemara in Yevamos. So Rashi says, V'neilof mehahu taima gufe. Let's go on. Second line of Rashi. Over Truma hayedina dezona sura. We know that a zona can't eat Truma. Rashi says, Dechsiv. The pasuk says, Kisi yali ish zar. So when a woman is with a literally a foreign man, strange man, ki tiba'al lazar etzla, he b'shumas ha-kadashim lo sochal. And the way we understand the pasuk is that if she has relations with a man she should not be having relations with, continuing reading in the pasuk, shumas ha-kadashim lo sochal, she no longer can eat truma. Ve'en l'cha pasuk odamizah. Now, in terms of a pasuk, she's committing adultery. That's Rashi says he can't get worse than that in terms of a man she's not allowed to cohabit with. Kishihi eshes ish v'nival l'acher. Ula Rabbi Kiva ma'ikra nafka alan b'yavam is called psulim de pasle v'anachnami de lo tafsi b'u kedushin. Now, over here, this is not going to be tfisus kedushin. The kevin de Rabbi Kiva and kedushin tofus and b'shum psul lo mashmalei kisiyel lashon havaya ela kiti ba'el. Now, even though, generally speaking, we view havaya as marriage, so Rashi points out that according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not a reference to marriage, because according to Rabbi Akiva, marriage never takes effect with someone who is usher to her. So kisiyah, in this context, according to Rabbi Akiva, means that if she has relations with somebody she's not allowed to have relations with, from that point going forward, she no longer can eat truma. Okay, that's the Rashi quoting the Gemara in Yevamos.
What is the difference of
ownership?
Based on this
kalva
chomer, can you punish somebody for?
Well, it's not right. This is. I mean, I understand you could view the her prohibition of eating truma as a punishment, but it's not. It's not a corporal punishment by basin. It's just a consequence. Her status changes. She's now a psul. Okay. With that stated, okay. So that is now we understand a little bit better now the exchange between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Ishmael. So we start off with Rabbi Kiva. So even though we had it originally as Rabbi Kiva sending out three drashas, now we have a clarification that Rabbi Kiva actually teaches us four drashas. The fourth one is generated by the extra vav. And now with the four drashas, we learned that according to Rabbi Kiva, once a woman secludes herself in that room with that man, even though we do not know what happened, she is nitma'a four times over. She's now, from this point going forward, us or to her husband, the adulterer, to Truma and to Kahuna. And just to clarify, we said this a moment ago, what does that mean? So Truma, we just learned Rashi together. That because she defiled herself, even though, again, we don't know, but because she was in that room and she now has the status of a sota, she can no longer eat Truma. In terms of her inability to marry a Kohen from this point going forward, so that means that when this marriage terminates, then again, there are two ways that a marriage terminates, death or divorce. Here we have to be talking about death. Because if this marriage terminates in divorce, she can't marry Cohen. She's a divorcee. This marriage terminated with death. If this marriage terminated with death, she cannot marry a Cohen from this point going forward. Why not? Again, because she has the status of a sota. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Now we go to Rabbi Yishmael. So now that we know with the starting point to Rabbi Akiva, that really they're not three drushas, but they're really four drushas, and in that fourth drusha, he was talking about a Kohen, so now we turn to Rabbi Yishmael. And now we understand the dialogue, because Rabbi Akiva was talking about a Kohen. And now Rabbi Yishmael's response, the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yishmael talta kray ksiv, chalaba v'chalaba v'chalat truma. Now as far as Rabbi Yishmael is concerned, he doesn't darshan vavin. So now that leaves us only three drushas. One drusha to tell us that she's also to her husband, to a second to the adulterer, a third to the truma, ukahuna sibekavachomer. And as far as her inability to marry a Kohen, Rabbi Yishmael agrees with the conclusion. How do we arrive at that conclusion? Answer: it's generated through a kavachomer. Rabbi Yishmael mi my districhkra le truma v'kuna. I'm sorry, v'chal truma, I'm sorry, v'kuna asib kavachomer, period. Rabbi,
what does he do with the vav?
He doesn't darshan. He just doesn't darshan vavin. We've seen throughout the Gemara that some tanaim darshan vavin, some tanaim don't. And
I
will say yes, but I'm not really banking that answer on something I remember clearly. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael, may my distra chral the truma v'kuna. I'm sorry, chral the truma v'kuna asya bekavachomer. Dilma ki distra chlukuna v'truma shaya. So the Gemara says, look, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we know we have three drushas. So again, drusha number one baal, drusha number two baal, drusha number three truma. And for Rabbi Yishmael, how do you know that she can't marry a kohen? Kavachomer. Gemara says maybe the way it works according to Rabbi Yishmael is three drushas. One drasha for Baal, second for Boel, and a third for Kahuna, and maybe she'd be allowed to eat Truma. So the Gemara says from Rabbi Shmuel's standpoint, it's not logical. It's more logical, just one second. It's more logical to say Baal, Boel, and Truma. Why? Ma Baal, Boel, Mechayim, Av Truma Nami, Mechayim. So the Gemara says that for Rabbi Shmuel's standpoint, let's look at what fits better. The Torah for sure says that she can no longer be with her husband. The Torah also excludes her, prohibits her from her adulterer as well. Okay, now, I got one more drasha. What's that third drasha going to be applied towards? Well, we're going to apply it to something which is more similar to Baal and Bolo. So here I have a chance now. Here I have two options. Either let's prohibit it from Truma or let's prohibit it from a Kohen. On one hand, Kohen makes more sense because we're talking about a person. Just like the Baal's a person, the Bowl's a person, the Kohen's also a person. On the other hand, and the Gemara says, and this is what Rabbi Shmuel really is going to opt with, on the other hand, you can only talk about a Kohen once her husband's dead. Truma, on the other hand, takes effect immediately, meaning from this point going forward, now that she's a sota, she's usher to her husband, to the adulterer, and truma, and they all apply mechaim. Mechaim just simply means from this point going forward. Kohen, however, won't kick in until after her husband's dead.
Are we assuming that her first husband was a Kohen, or she was a bad Kohen herself? Because if she's not going to be able to marry this Kohen, how could she truma?
If she's not going to be able, what?
If she's not allowed to marry a Kohen,
right?
How is she going to be able to eat?
No, in other words, the Gemara is saying that her prohibition to Truma, she's a Bas Kohen. She's a Bas Kohen, and this marriage is now going to end. Now, the Torah allows the Bas Kohen to go back to her family, again, if she has no children. If she has children, then her Truma eating days are over. But if she goes back to her parents' house with no children, so then she can eat Truma. Okay, so they got La Fuki Kahuna, De La Achamisa. So the Gemara says, but on the other hand, Kahuna doesn't really fit in, because kuna only would be an option for her after the death of her husband. Now, what about Rabbi Akiva? Now, Rabbi Akiva really has four drashas. Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara first points out that maybe he doesn't agree with this whole premise of Rabbi Shmuel, that you don't need Dumya Dabal Bawal, meaning that third drasha does not have to be like the husband and the adulterer. Or maybe no, maybe Rabbi Akiva just simply says, look, Rabbi Shmuel, in principle, I think what you're saying is wonderful. I think you're right. Meaning, what do we have? We have three drashas, and one is talking about the Baal, the second is talking about the Baal, the third is talking about Truma, and as far as the Kohen is concerned, the Kavachomer, and it's a wonderful Kavachomer. And Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Shmuel, I agree with you in principle. However, there is a fourth drasha available, because, again, Rabbi Akiva Lashita, so he darshans of extra vav, and because he darshans the extra vav, there's now a fourth drasha, and then we're going to apply that fourth drasha towards Kahuna. And what about the fact that you could have made a Kavachomer? So the Gemara says, you know, sometimes we have that. Even though you could have made a Kavachomer, the Torah goes out of its way to write it down. I mean, when we say write it down over here, we're talking about just adding an extra vav. It's not like the Torah goes out of its way to say it, but still, at least we have a drasha in the Torah to bank it on, and we don't have to use Kavachomer. Okay, and that's it's a concept that comes up every now and then in the Gemara, that Milsa de Asya be Kavachomer is something that could have been generated by a Kavachomer, still the Torah goes out of its way to write it down the Pasuk. Remember, Kavachomers, they could be created, they could also be discarded. Meaning Kavachomers is a logical argument. You have a logic, I can argue with your logic. Once the Torah goes out and says it, so then that's it. Meaning it's the La'olam Va'ed with no area, no room to debate that issue. Okay. Good. That was our first sentence of the day. So it was a run on. But basically, what do we get from all this? We understand now the dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in the beginning of the Braisa on the bottom of Chav Ches Amud Aleph. They're arguing about how many drushas there are in the Torah. Are there four drushas or three drushas? Rabbi Akiva says four. Rabbi Shmuel says three. Their conclusions are synonymous. They agree in terms of what happens to the sota. She becomes prohibited from her being in the room with the man, with the adulterer. She becomes prohibited to her husband, to the adulterer, to Truma, and to a Kohen as well. Period. Moving on. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Davi Sheish Bodas Lishol, Vein Bodas Lishol, Mehai Kra Nafka. So now, what do we learn on Chav Ches Amud Beis? That the sota becomes a model for Safek Tumah. And because it becomes a model, becomes a prototype, so just like by Sota, there's Das Lishal, it involves people, so too by Safek Tumah, it has to involve a person. And it can't just simply be an object. So the Gemara says, Now it's interesting. You're saying we're learning that idea of Das Lishol by Sota. Gemara says, I thought we learned it from a different place. And the Gemara goes through the other place where it's learned from. So Mehakra Nafka Vabasar Asher Yiga B'chol Tamei Lo Yochal. So the Torah says that when I have basar, carbon shlamim, that definitely came into contact with tuma, I can't eat that carbon shlamim. Okay, I mean we've covered enough of kachim to know that a carbon that's tame is prohibited. We're not allowed to eat it. And the Gemara darshins vanday tamahu de lo yachal safik tame v'safik tar yochal, meaning only when it definitively becomes tame. Let's say it's not definitive. Let's say maybe the shlamim came into contact with tuma, maybe it didn't. Not enough. It has to be vadai, definitively come into contact with tuma. Emaseifa v'abaser kol tahor yochabaser. Now, if you or I, meaning now the person, if you or I are tahor, so we can eat carbon. Vadai tarhu da'achil the yochal baser hasafik tami v'safik tamar. I'm sorry, safik tahor lo yochal. What does that mean? Only if I'm definitively tahor can I eat a carbon. However, if I have a suffix, I can't eat a carbon. What just happened? When it came to the meat of the carbon shlamim, my default assumption is the meat's fine. And even if it's a suffix, it's fine. And only when it definitively becomes tameh, then I can't eat it. Now let's talk about me, the person. When I'm definitively tahor, then I can eat carbon. But if I have a suffix, then I can't eat. That's confusing. The Gemara says, so the Gemara says, it's not confusing. Because on one hand, we're talking about the meat of the carbon shlamim, on the other hand, we're talking about me. When we're talking about the meat of the carbon shlamim, and there's a suffix by the meat, obviously meat, you can't question the meat. Right? Did you or did you not become tummy? It's a piece of meat. Keep waiting for an answer. It's not going to get back to you. Okay? Me, on the other hand, I'm a person. I have Das Lishol. You can ask me a question. So the difference is that when it comes to meat, suffik tuma by something that doesn't have Das, fine. When it comes to me, suffik tuma that has Das, now it's not fine. That's the difference. So what did we just learn out from those two psukim? That there's a difference between Yesh Bo Das Lishol versus Ein Bo Das Lishol. And now the Gemara is bothered by, where's the source for this halacha? Is it from Sota, which is what the Gemara said in yesterday's daf? Or is it from the Yishuv of these two psukim, which we're learning right now? It's Derech Rav Gidol Amar Rav, it's Derech LeMikmar Misota. And the Gemara's answer is yes and yes. I need yesterday's daf, I need to learn from Sota, and I need to learn from these two psukim. The Gemara explains why. Because if I only generate it from the two psukim that we just learned together, here in these two psukim regarding the basar of the karmi shlamim versus me, the Torah never explains the distinction between Rishosayach and Rishosarabim. That we learn from Sota. That's why I need Sota. And V'imi Sota Havamina Adika Das Nogea Umagia Tzricha. Now, if I only learned it out from Sota, so I would have thought, so what happened in Sota? You have a metame and a nitma, someone who's giving the tumah, someone who's receiving the tumah. Now, again, just to be clear, Sota, we're not talking about tumah tahara, we're talking about
status
and isser. But, again, because the Torah uses the word tumah, so we can conceptualize. When it comes to Sota, so who is the mitame, the adulterer? Who is the nitma, the woman? They both have Das Lishol. So it involves two people. I might have thought, therefore, that this suffix tuma is only going to be communicated, transmitted, only when both participants have Das Lishol. But let's say, which is probably in the world of tuma going to be much more applicable, where I may or may not have come into contact with tuma. So that means that the transmitter of the tumah is an object, the recipient of the tumah is a person, and by the way, you can flip it around also. But in other words, it only involves one person who has Das Lishol, not two. So I might have thought that, well, that doesn't match the Sota model, therefore, that's not considered Das Lishol. That's why I need the Rav Gidol teaching of the two psukim, one dealing with the Basar Shlamim, and the other dealing with the person, that even if there's only one person involved that has Das Lishol, still that's going to be, Safik Tumah is going to be Tameh. Okay. Atan, that takes us to the end of the Amud Aleph. So, what have we seen so far today? That as far as the Brice is concerned, now we understand the dialogue between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. What else did we learn today? That this concept of Dasi Shal, where in the case of Safik Tumma, it's only going to be Tame if there's Dasi Shal, there actually are two sources for this halacha. One is from Sota, and the other is from a discrepancy between two psukim in Parshat Sav. So the Gemara's answer is that both are necessary because both are teaching us a different aspect of this halacha of Dasi Shal. Okay. Baba Yom Darsh Rabbi Kiva V'chol Kli Cheres. Okay. We go back now to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah taught us that a number of conversations took place on Baba Yom. Baba Yom, the day of the appointment of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, where Rav Elazar ben Azariah Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from being the Nasi, and Rav Elazar ben Azariah was put in his place. And on that day, Rav Elazar ben Azariah had a whole new philosophy in terms of admissions policies of the yeshiva, opened the door, allowed entrance, benches were set up. I'm just thinking out loud. The Gemara gives a specific number of rows that were added. I forgot. Okay. Anyway, it's all brachos chafzayin chafches. Anyway, benches were added. Many issues were discussed that day, and many issues were concluded that day. And every time we refer to that day, it's always referred to as Bo Bayom, on that very day. Okay. So one of the things that were discussed on that very day was Shlishi B'Tumah. Okay. And every now and then in Shas, we get to go over Tumah Tahara, Rish, Shon Sheni, Shlishi. Today's one of those days. Okay, it's good review. It's excellent review. It's today, it's tomorrow, and that's it. We'll only get in Sota, only get 2 days of Tumah Tahara, Rish, Shon Sheni, Shlishi. That's it. That's all we get. Now, remember what we said in the Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva used a Kavachomer to arrive at the following halacha. That there's not only going to be, when it comes to the levels of Tumah, so the source of Tumah is what's called an Ava Tumah. It comes into contact with a Kli, that Kli now is a Rishon LeTumah. So let's use a Kli Cheres model, because that's what was the Mishnah's discussion. So the Sheretz is placed in the Kli Cheres, and all it needs to go is into the airspace, the interior airspace of the Kli Cheres. The Kli Cheres now is a Rishon. Good. Now the Kli Cheres, now there's a food in the Kli Cheres. That food is a Sheni. Wonderful. Rabbi Akiva said that if that food comes into contact with any other food, and it doesn't matter if that third, it doesn't matter if that other food is chulin, truma, kachim, it does not matter. Rabbi Akiva says that food is going to be tummy as well, and that food is going to become a shlishi. Okay? This is Rabbi Akiva's deduction. And how does Rabbi Akiva know that? Through a drasha. You look back at the Mishnah, I'm reviewing the Mishnah in Chav Zayin Amud Beis. Rabbi Kiva says, Darush Rabbi Kiva, Kli Cheres, Asher Yipol Mehem, El Tocho, Kol Asher Besocho Yitma, Eino Omer Tamei Ela, Yitma L'Tamei Acherim. Rabbi Kiva deduces from the fact that the Torah does not say the word Tamei, which means that it's the end of the road, but Yitma, it can cause Tumah to something else. Liman Al Kikar Sheni, Shemetamei Esa Shlishi, that it's going to be Metame a Shlishi, and according to Rabbi Kiva, it does not matter whether that Shlishi is Chulin, Truma, Kachim, it does not matter. And just to review, Amar Rav Yoshua, the Mishnah said, what was Rav Yoshua's response to that? Mi yigale afar meinecha Rav Yochanan Zakkai. Like, can someone please wake up Rav Yochanan Zakkai? I mean, he's not literally, but Shayisa Omer Asi Doracher Letaher Kikar Shlishi. Because Rav Yochanan Zakkai was worried his whole life that in the future, they're just going to do away with the whole concept of Shlishi. Period. Do away with it. Shein lo mikra min haTorah, because there's nowhere explicitly in the Torah where it discusses Shlishi. Shehu Tamei. And hello, Rabbi Akiva Tamidecha, maybe lo mikra min haTorah, Shehu Tamei, Shenemer kol asher besocho yitma. And your very own student, Rabbi Akiva, not only did he not do away with the Shlishi, he actually broadened the whole concept of Shlishi. Meaning, the halacha is that Shlishi is only Tamei when it comes to Truma. And Rabbi Akiva said, it's Tamei across the board. So someone please nudge Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. He was worried, he had nothing to worry about. Okay. Okay, good. And what the Gemara is going to point out in just a moment is he did have something to worry about, and we're going to, and that's what, and what part of the discussion. Gemara's question starting off this discussion is, hey, you know, there is no source for a shlishi. So if there's no source for a shlishi, so why do we even have a discussion by shlishi? Meaning, how do we know? It's a simple question. How do we know there's tumah by shlishi? Meaning, and let's go back to the time of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Meaning, Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says there's a shlishi by truma. How do you even know that? So, well, that's Rabbi Akiva. But prior to the point of Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was so worried because we don't have it anywhere in the Torah. Now again, Rabbi Kiva darshans and agreed. But let's go. We're going now back to an earlier stage. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, like, where is it in the Torah? So I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rav min Torah, ain lo midin kavachomer yeshlo. So the Gemara says you're right. Without Rabbi Kiva's drasha of Yitma, so then you're right. There's no reference in the Torah for shlishi. However, we have a kavachomer umat tvul yom shemuta bechulin. Now, when it, as it relates to a tvul yom, now remember, what's a tvul yom? It's a person who becomes tamei and he tovels in the mikvah, and that evening with harav shemesh he'll be tar legamrei. However, between his tefillah and harav shemesh, so he has a little bit of residual tuma. So umat tvul yom shemuta bechulin. Now, tvul yom at this point going forward, he's allowed to eat chulin. Because he's not totally tahor, he's not tahor legamre, but enough where he touches chulin and nothing's going to happen to the chulin. Uposel betruma, and yet we know when it comes to the tvul yom, he posels betruma. Okay. Kikar sheni sheposel bechulin. Now if I have a kikar sheni, now the Torah does say that if the kikar is in the kli cheres, the kikar becomes tamei. And we know, just based on following the progression, sheretz is an av, kli cheres is a rishon, kikar is a sheni. Now that kikar sheni sheposel bechulin, now it can become a sheni. Eino din shiasa shlishi betruma. So if that were to touch truma, wouldn't that truma become a shlishi? Okay, that's the logical argument of the of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai in terms of the deduction that there's such a thing as shlishi when it comes to truma. It's based on a kavachomer.
Tful yom is like a sheni.
Tful yom is basically like a sheni. Yeah. Okay, so that's the that's Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's kavachomer. Now the kavachomer has issues with it. You can take a look at the bottom Rashi, where Rashi points out that. We have a principle of dayo. Okay, I'm not perfectly clarifying, explicating the kavachomer of Yochanan ben Zakkai, but for our purposes right now, let us just simply say he has a kavachomer. So the Gemara says even within this kavachomer, it's not a fantastic kavachomer. We're comparing a person who was tamei to a loaf of bread. A person can become an av. A loaf of bread never can become an avatuma. Food never can become an avatuma. Food can be a derivative. Food can become a recipient of tuma, but it can never actually become a source of tuma. So malatvul yom shekein avatuma. So I'm sorry. Malatvul yom shekein avatuma. So taisi mitvul yom desheretz. So the Gemara says, okay, how about this? How about a tvul yom of a sheretz? Meaning, I came into contact with a sheretz. If I came into contact with the sheretz, what does that make me? Makes me a rishon. I'm not an avatuma. So now we'll just go over the same kavachomer, but using this as our starting point of the kavachomer. I'm not an avatuma, and yet we know the halacha is that after I tovel the mikvah, if I touch shuma, the shuma becomes pasul. So now, the chulin bread, which is a sheni, so if it should touch his truma, for sure it becomes pasul. Again, that's the kavachomer. So the Gemara says, mal tvuyom desheret shekein bimino avatuma. So the Gemara says, okay, but still, even if you want to use that as your base model, but still, you're right. If I touch a sheret, I'm not an avatuma, I'm only a rishon. It's true. But at least we're talking about a person, I have the capacity to become an avatuma. Bread, food, never has the capacity to becoming an avatuma. So now, again, you can't, how can I make a kal v'chomer with two things which are not comparable? Kli cheres yochiach. So the Gemara says, you're right. How about generating the kal v'chomer using a kli cheres? Mal kli cheres shekem etame me'aviro. So the Gemara says, you can't compare to a kli cheres. Kli cheres has a very unusual halacha in the world of Tumah Tahara, and that is that even without the kli cheres touching anything, it becomes tame just by simply interior airspace. Tvul yom yochiach. So the Gemara says, so what we're going to do now is we're going to do a tzad hashava, a common denominator. V'chozer adin, lori zekeri zev, lori zekeri zev, tzad hashava shabahem shemutar b'chulin, u poslim b'truma. So, we will look at a tful yom. At the same time, we're going to look at a kli cheres. Now, it's true they're not the same. And it's true that they have unique characteristics. But at least the tzad hashav, the common denominator between the two, is that if either one of them were to touch truma, the truma becomes posel. Kol shekein kikar sheni, sheposel b'chulin, deposel b'truma. So a kikar sheni, which can itself become a sheni, if that kikar sheni were to touch the truma becomes posel. Okay. That is the kal v'chomer of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Admittedly, it's not easy, and we didn't even explicate it.
But it's never a stretch, though. This is a pretty big stretch.
Okay, so that's that. Now that we're here, now at least we understand Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried. Right, exactly. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, I know that Truma can become a pasul and become a shlishi. And Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai says, and I know what's going to happen. There's going to come a point in time in the future where the later generations are going to say, right, it's now built and based on a kal v'chomer, and we don't necessarily have to buy into the kal v'chomer. And the Gemara says it. V'dor acher parech malat tzad hashav shebehem, shekein yesh behem tzad chamor. And the later generations will say, the whole idea that Truma becomes Pasul and Truma becomes a Shlishi, it's not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. And it's based on a Kal v'chomer, and a Kal v'chomer that's based on a common denominator between the comparison of, or I should say, the combination of a Tvul Yom and a Kli Cheres. A later generation will say, okay, no, we're just simply not biting on the logic of the kal v'chomer. V'Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai tzad chamor lo parech. And as far as Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai is concerned, so the tzad chamor is not something for him which is a pircha. Okay. Tanya. Let's just do a little bit more for today, and tomorrow we'll pick it up. So, what do we have right now? A better understanding of how Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai knows that Truma can become a shlishi. He learns it out through a kal v'chomer. Complicated one. We now know that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was worried that later generations will not subscribe to the kal v'chomer. It's involved, it's intricate, and it's based on logic, and the later generations may not just simply agree with the logic. And then we understand that Rabbi Akiva, who darshans the word yitma, which I guess you can ask, Hedy, just anticipating your question, you can ask, where did Rabbi Akiva get the drasha from? Meaning, it's obviously Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did not subscribe to that drasha. How did Rabbi Akiva get it from? Maybe from another Rebbe. All I can do is remind you that when Moshe Rabbeinu sat in the shir of Rabbi Akiva, Moshe Rabbeinu was unclear as to he's saying things I don't know what he's talking about. So and the Kadosh Baruch Hu assured him, he's working with the Mesora. He gets it from your Torah. Okay, anyway, it's he's okay. So now we have a much better understanding of the dynamics of the Mishnah and what Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai's concern was, and Rabbi Akiva actually swung in the other direction, where Rabbi Akiva says, not only is Truma going to become Pasul and Shlishi, but really all Chulin is going to become Pasul and Shlishi. And by the way, mind you, just one end note to that point, and that is that we don't Pasul like Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, when it comes to Truma, only Truma becomes a Shlishi, Chulin does not become a Shlishi. Okay. Tanya. Amar Rav Yosi, Minayin L'Revi, B'Kardesh Apostle. So, when it comes to carbon goes up one more level, or goes up, goes down. But carbon can, there's one more level of tumah when it comes to the world of carbon. Carbon can become a revi'i. How do I know that? Vidinu. It's based on a kal v'chomer. Ma mechusar kippurim shemutar b'truma pasul b'kodesh. When it comes to mechusar kippurim, so remember, there are people who, even after tefillah in the mikvah, and even after Harav Shemesh, still need one more step in the process to become perfectly tahor, and they can't eat karban until they get to that last step. So a zav, a zava, a mitzora and zav zava mitzora and a yolet. Yes. Zav zava mitzora yolet. Thank you. So and they have to, and they're what's called mechusa kippurim until they bring the karban. The day after they tov on the mikvah, so they are not perfectly tahor. And we also know that they are prohibited from eating carbon. We know that if they touch carbon, the carbon becomes tummy. Shlishi shepasal b'truma ino din shiyasa revia b'kodesh. So a shlishi, which disqualifies truma, for sure is going to make a kodesh a revi. Ulamanu shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah, and we know that shlishi, as it relates to kodesh, is min haTorah or revi mikavachomer, and a revi now is going to be generated through a kavachomer. Okay, so shlishi l'kodesh min haTorah minalan. So how do I know that a karban can become a shlishi? Dichtiva basar sheyiga bechol tamei lo yachal. The pasuk says that when meat comes into contact with anything that's tamei, you're not allowed to eat the meat. We were talking, this is parshat saf. We're talking about the karban of a. Sorry, we're talking about the meat of a karban. Milo askin and denag b'sheni v'amarachmana lo yachal. So the presumption is that the meat itself came into contact with a sheni. So that means that the meat now becomes a shlishi. And so you see, it's based on assumption, but you see that meat can become a shlishi. Now that meat can become a shlishi, and I have a kavachomer. So what's the kavachomer getting us to? The next level, a revi. So revi mikavachomer kid. I'm sorry. So sheni v'amarachmana lo yachal revi mikavachomer kid. And so therefore I have a revi. I have a kavachomer. Apply it. Well, I already know that. We already know sheni. We already know the pasuk says, again, based on assumption, that carbon can become a shlishi. I now have a kavachomer. Kavachomer gets me to a revi. Okay. We'll stop over here. Amar Rav Yochanan. We're going to question one of the assumptions that we just made. We'll start with that tomorrow. And again, every now and then in Shas, we get to review Tumat Tahara. So here's one of those occasions.